Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prose.
And I am Jonathan Fraser. And we are once again happy to invite you to join with us on our continuing ongoing culinary adventure of our Edible Valley.
On today's episode, we are talking with Darren Howlett of Kama Bento Sushi. Welcome to the studio, Darren.
Thanks.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So what's been going on, John?
Well,
You missed last week.
I missed last week. I took a trip over to Vancouver. I got to do the Harbor Air, which if you haven't taken the float plane over to Vancouver, incredible.
Yeah.
Beautiful sunny day. Flew over there. Just had a great time.
Cool.
But I was heading over there for a food show. So I was going over to the GFS food show. So that was quite interesting. Got to tour around and, you know, book some product and got to do a little networking with some chefs and introduce myself to a few people that I hadn't met over there. So that was my reason I wasn't here last week. It was quite fun.
Yeah.
But now I'm back.
You missed a good episode. I learned lots about gardening last week.
I heard. It was sounded very interesting. You guys got into some great topics, so that's great.
I built a cold house yesterday.
I heard. I heard you were working on
that. I'm very excited. I got radishes, collards, and spinach in the ground, so we'll see what happens.
Perfect.
But yeah, very motivating.
It's great to do that stuff and have some grub over the winter.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I went out to Seifert's on Saturday and picked up a bunch of beets and potatoes and onions for my pantry. So I have a pretty good supply right now of root crops.
So you're fully stocked now, ready to go?
It'll last for a little while anyway.
Right.
That's why I made borscht yesterday.
Perfect. So you've been doing any canning lately or?
No, I haven't. I made a really good chicken stock though. It was just rad. A lot of those chickens that I bought in the summertime, I saved all the carcasses after I cleaned all the meat off them, and I boiled two of those all day, and I put some of that in the freezer. Perfect. That's probably all the preserving I really did.
But, yeah. Well, I know Darren over there was doing some salsa that...
I did. I made some salsa, and it turned out, well, it was my first attempt, and it turned out not salsa at all. It turned out to be pretty much ketchup.
Oh,
it went way too sweet and no heat whatsoever.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be brilliant to substitute some of the tomatoes with a couple of sheets of roasted tomatoes that I did. And apparently that just took over.
Oh, yeah.
But I did also make some chutney and the chutney turned out fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, so, awesome.
Yeah.
I made salsa and it turned out it's a bit sweet too and no heat in it, but it still tastes good. So
yeah.
And it's got some chunks to it, so I'm pretty happy with it. And that was my first go at it too. So,
yeah, I was I didn't want to overdo it, so I really held back. I did a couple of cups of diced hot peppers, but apparently it just wasn't enough to carry it. So now I know for next time.
Yeah, that's it. I always keep lots of notes when I do stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So
keep track because it's really easy to just forget what you did.
For sure. Any other events happen? I know I did have a chef's association meeting and,
I think we talked about that.
We did. I don't know if you actually got to talk to you about it on the show, but we did have a sit down and, tentatively the flavor.
Oh, right.
2013. Sure, yeah. What was the date? We were talking September 15th, I believe.
Yes.
So September back 15th. To the Sunday. So it'll be another big event. We're going to do it the week before, Feast of Fields.
Because
they took our date.
Oh, okay.
I think they've been doing it longer, so
we
thought we'd do it before then, so it should be fun. It sounds like we get most of the same people back and hoping to maybe get another 20 vendors in there, which would be
great. I'm really sorry I missed that. And you'd sort of extended that wait in the inception phase that there was a possibility, but unfortunately I had another business in California that weekend. But really sorry I missed it, and I'd love to come this next time.
Well, pencil it in.
Oh, yeah, it's pencil it in.
September 15th. Even if you can't cook, I would just to come and just enjoy. It was pretty fabulous, so it was a good time. So
it was. I look forward to it. I got an email from Tree Island Gourmet Yogurt. Apparently, they're going to be delivering some samples to people who signed up for their home delivery service.
Oh, excellent.
So apparently Thursday I'm supposed to be getting some yogurt dropped off.
Excellent.
So that's exciting.
So maybe you can bring some down to the next show and we can...
Yeah, maybe we'll do something with that. Yeah, you bet.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yogurt. So. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much wraps all that news up, I think. Oh, except for the top 40 under 40. Apparently, you are part of that, John.
I am one of the 40 under 40 people in the Comox Valley.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Sean.
Kind of exciting, you know, kind of shocking. You know, it's nice to know that cooks are considered some of the influential people in this community. So.
Oh, yeah. Goes to show how big the food culture is, hey?
Yeah, no. Yeah. So I was really excited to get my name thrown in there, and I got to have my picture taken and Thursday night, which I guess this will be broadcasting after I have the cocktail dinner, so that should be interesting at Crown Isle. So.
Cool.
Good times.
Good job. Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You'll have to bring your award in and get a picture taken.
Yeah. Well, I've already had people asking. Oh, I actually asked my wife this morning, what's it like to be living with a celebrity? And her response was, who?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Got my picture in the paper.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, okay, so we're here to talk about setting up a food cart and that sort of stuff, so.
Yeah, well, let's learn a little bit about Darren. Like, how did you get into this? You've been in the food industry for quite a few years here.
I started working in the back end in kitchens. Well, actually, predating that even, my family owned a restaurant when I was growing up. And
so it was in the blood?
Yeah, it was. My brother is right into food too. And we've just always been around food. And my first few jobs were all cooking jobs. And then slowly moved my way out into the front end where there was less stress and more money. And and from there, I ended up in Vancouver and looking for some summer employment in my last year of high school. And I worked for a guy that would end up becoming somewhat influential later on. But worked for him for the summer, came back here and got into restaurants. One thing led to another and I ended up owning a business in town for about 10 years, which wasn't the business I wanted to own. I wanted to own a restaurant and I was all set to do that, but got sidetracked. And so after 10 years of that business wrapped up, I went back to the guy that this Rob guy that originally influenced me that worked for that summer. And he was in his early 20s and he had 7 food carts and he just had an army of us operating them, all 16, 17 year olds. And I was just blown away at how ambitious and how capable he was and how sort of widespread he was at such an early age. And he's the one that sort of showed me that really you can do anything in a food cart. Everybody's willing to try something new if it's innovative, if it's different, if it's you're pretty much guaranteed at least a moderate amount of success, enough that you're not going to lose your shirt. Unless if you're doing something that everybody else is doing, there's a good chance that you're not going to be able to pull away from that market. So
it's coming out with something original is the trick behind it.
Right? Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out what I was going to do in these last couple of years where after the business. I was really happy to be working for other people again instead of being my own boss. And then after a few years, I got really excited at the idea of being my own boss again and not having to work for other people. So, so the cart came about. It just seemed within my budget, entry level. And it seemed like something that I was familiar with. I knew the industry in and out working with this other guy. And I just thought I'd jump in and get to it instead of procrastinating as I usually do, finding ways to get out of things. I just thought, nope, I'm going to find my way to get into this. And but the one thing that I don't know if I'd do again is I decided that all the carts that were for sale that I could find locally and not so locally, none of them really were the way I wanted them to be. So I thought, no, I'm going to do my own from scratch. I'm going to build it from scratch. And it can be laid out exactly as I want it, you know. And that's great if you have 6 months.
Takes a bit of time to design your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was going to be a 1 month and done thing. And 6 months later, I was literally finishing it a week before my first event, and it was supposed to be finished 5 months before my first event. So,
just to add a little pressure to the whole thing.
Yeah, I was getting its final inspections 6 days before it was supposed to be operational.
Best laid plans.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it all worked out. It was great, and I had a fantastic summer with it. I just did a few events, and that was the intent, was just to test the waters.
So what got you into sushi? Why was that the...
Sushi, I've probably about 8 years ago, well, 10 years ago, I got really into sushi, but about 8 years ago, I would say it seemed like a thing to do at dinner parties. If you were having friends over or you're going to a friend's house, everybody was sort of trying their hand at sushi, and everybody's tasted so awful. it did. It just tasted, it tasted nothing like the sushi you'd get in restaurants, and it just perplexed me. I had no idea why, I had no idea why it couldn't be like it tasted in the restaurants. So obviously somebody was missing something, or we all were missing something. And so I just started researching it more and more, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist that way when it comes to food. I mean, and not in a grand scale, just when I'm having people over, I like it to be, you know, the best possible. So
right.
I was like, I'm going to wow people for the next time I do this for a dinner party. And the next time it improved, and the next time it improved, and the next time. And I found major little breakthroughs, little discoveries, little tricks and tips. And it got to the point where I would have people over for sushi, like in the last 4 or 5 years, and they would ask midway, like, where I got it from. And it's like, no, I made this. And they just didn't, they didn't believe me. They were like, right. Whatever. Nobody makes it like this. And I said,
it's
no,
not
no.
Delivery.
And seriously, I got that quite a bit. And then, so when I was trying to figure out what to do for a food cart, I just sort of looked at the playing field, so to speak, just looked at what everybody else locally was doing, who was doing what, and it seemed nobody was doing sushi. And I found out there was a couple of reasons why, but I thought, well, perfect, I'm great at sushi, and you know, there seems to be an open market, like an untapped market. So I went for that, and then I found out later why, because as soon as I went for my health license, they said, well, we don't give licenses for sushi carts. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
No.
You know, being in the hot sun and what have you. And so I managed to convince them over time. It took a little while. I got my approval the 6 days before the cart was supposed to be serving sushi for the first time. But I managed to convince them that I had an absolute full knowledge of what I was doing and safe handling techniques. And I understand their trepidations. They don't want to just hand out licenses for people to be serving raw fish in the hot summer. Just anybody.
No, yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I was really lucky that way. They said that it's very rare that they, that sushi carts or applicants get licenses. So
cool. Awesome.
So what kind of products what kind of rolls are you doing, or have you got a little mix of everything in there?
Mostly I didn't want to deviate too much. I wanted to keep everything relatively simple this first year, knowing that I was only going to do a few events, and didn't want to have like a barrage of products where people, you know, I wanted it to be really simple. I wanted it to feel safe and comfortable. So it was just items that people are very familiar with. I did a spicy tuna roll, a grilled spicy tuna roll, and I did a smoked salmon roll, and I did a veggie roll. What else was I doing? I did a regular tuna roll, just grilled tuna. It was more bento too. So a bento is like a box lunch, which is a variety of things. Usually you'll have a little bit of salad, some rice, a roll, and then really anything. It can be anything from some sashimi or nigiri to some will have some soup. Some will have I did mine with a little salad with, you know, varieties of ways to have it dressed. I had a little stir fry, again, with a variety of ways to have it dressed, and then a little bit of rice and a selection of fresh fruit and a roll.
Nice.
Yeah. And people were really responded really well to it. I got tons of compliments. I was really surprised. I didn't expect it to be as well received. But happily surprised.
Well, I guess you kind of have a niche there if you're the only one that's allowed to kind of do that, right?
With well, yeah, I'm certain that there will be others that will be allowed to. I just again, it would, the amount of hoops that you have to go through to prove that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's many others out there that are just as capable. I can think of three or four other places or people that I think that I'm just sort of amazed that they haven't done it, you know. But yeah, I'm really lucky, and I thank my lucky stars for getting the approvals and having everybody really happy with the product. So
mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you've only done a couple events.
Yeah,
so
I just
you've done.
I did Big Time Out this year, and I did the Philberg Festival.
Excellent.
Yeah, and happy to say that both were very happy with me too. So there's an application process in both of those that you have to go through every year, and even longtime applicants have to apply every year.
Every year, to or get back.
Longtime vendors have to apply every year, and I was given the thumbs up, and they just said, just make sure your application's there and you're in next year. So,
oh, that's exciting. Good.
It is. Yeah, it is. And yeah, I have a lot of other events I'm hoping to get to this year. So,
did it turn out how you thought it would? Cause I remember when I first asked you when you were putting it all together, and you were a little bit like, I'm like, you should come on the podcast and we'll sit down and talk about what you're doing.
Right.
And you looked at me and you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I was really figuring it out as I went. And normally that would scare the heck out of me, but I was pretty confident in my abilities and pretty confident. And I knew that how to run a cart and, you know, the normal pitfalls and failings and exactly, you know, that there's going to come a point during the day when the water fails you, or there's going to come a point when the sink backs up. Like, you just have to be prepared that to not lose it when that happens.
Something will go wrong. You will run out of something.
On a daily basis, you're going to run out of things. Yeah, it's such a limited little place to serve from. So, I was pretty cautious back then because I wanted to have a little bit of experience under my belt before I thought I could talk about anything. But
well, yeah. I liked after you did the Philberg and you came up and you're like, I will do that. I will go on your podcast because I feel good.
Yeah, I knew what I was doing. I knew it was going well. Yeah. Yeah, it went really well.
Excellent. So how many people do you have working with you in the cart?
For Philberg, I thought I was going to go crazy and overstaff, and just so that I'd had no major glitches or what have you. Any problem that arised, I'd have an extra body there to fix it. So I had five of us, and we were running the whole time. Like it was pretty crazy. I was amazed. So, and some of that was due to just, you know, figuring out the failings of the cart and what I needed to improve on there. So we did five, and I think by the end of the weekend, I'd roped in a sixth person. And then, for the big time out, I'd whittled it down to four. Just had time to reflect and review and knew where I'd taken my missteps and four was perfect.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, cause doing flavor and I went in there with four of us and the goal was to have two people serving and two of us slicing. Cause I did a nori roll with a little smoked salmon on there.
Right.
Well, it turned on the three of us hunched over for 3 hours slicing and cutting fish to go on top of the stuff as fast as we possibly could do it. So I completely understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had to have it down to, we had one person that and that was the most efficient, most experienced person on my staff. Their sole purpose was to just roll. And as soon as we got started in the morning, they started rolling. And then the rest of us, well, I was assembling everything else. I was doing the salads, the stir fries, and cooking all the rice, which might seem a little like I was taking on too much, but I just knew that I could do those faster than anybody else could. And, everybody else was, either serving the food or doing the prep, and nobody could keep up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But a happy crazy, you know, it was crazy, but one of those, you look back and with a big smile on your face, not like, oh my God, what were we doing?
Well, if you're putting out something nice and you feel comfortable with it, it's a lot easier to handle than.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
So you have some futures for the food cart? Like, where are we going to be able to find you?
Well, this year it looks like I'm going to be at the Sandcastle competition in Qualcomm. And I'm not sure exactly, but I've been talking to them and they would like to have me there. So I'll be doing that and I'll be back at Filberg and Big Time Out. And hopefully Music Fest. I sort of missed that one only because of a misunderstanding. So, but I have talked to a few people there and hopefully I'll get into there this year. Other than that, I had been offered a location in town to have a permanent sort of a permanent place for my booth all summer long, but I decided against it just because I wanted it to stay special, if that means anything. I didn't want it to be something that people just became bored with by the end of the summer. I want it to be very, you know, events, so I wanted to tie it into with the local events so that it could be something fun to look forward to instead of something that people may become bored with.
Yeah.
So, and that's about it. I have a couple other events that I'm hoping to do, but I'm much too early to talk about. So,
right, so you're basically lining yourself up for the next year. And
yeah, I want to be in the valley for sure. I don't want to. I originally thought I'd take it all over the island or take it all over BC, and I realized that there's no need to really leave the valley in that. There's just so many great events. There's so many places to go throughout the summer that I could have an entire full itinerary for the summer and never really leave the comforts of the valley.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there really is something happening every weekend, isn't there?
There is. Yeah. There is.
Yeah, we find it difficult just keeping up with the events, food events for the Comox Valley straight up. So there's always something every second weekend that's pretty impressive. So
yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's a cooking competition, a food event, it's just always out there. So
yeah.
So what drew you to the Comox Valley? Let's go back a little bit about you.
Sure. I'm from Down Island, and we had a restaurant there growing up. And my dad actually worked for Labatt's, and there used to be a brewery there. They closed down, and I believe it's actually the Phillips Brewery now. But they closed down and they were looking for somewhere to move. My dad just on a whim came up here and got a job at Farmer Dan's. And so we moved up here with the family, relocated up to here. And my dad, I've grown up in restaurants and grocery. My entire dad's side of the family is all in grocery. Moved up here, and I spent quite a few years up here. Left here when I was 15 to the mainland, and thought that I would never be looking back. Never thought I would look at the island again. And I got established on the mainland. And I don't know. At one point, I just realized that there was something drawing me back here. That the beauty and the how much quieter it was and relaxed. Everything that we know as people of the Comox Valley, everything that we know is great about the valley. Well, that's what was all dawning on me at that time. I was really starting to understand it all. So I moved back here, and like I say, I moved back here with the intent to start up a restaurant. And something distracted me and came up, and it was too good of a deal to pass up. So I ended up going into another business for 10 years. But getting out of that business, it definitely came to me that I had the opportunity to relocate if I needed to. I could start doing something else elsewhere. And as I sort of did a bit of soul searching for a year, I realized that there's just nowhere that I could go. I couldn't go back to my hometown of Victoria. I couldn't go back to the mainland. I couldn't go anywhere and feel as more at home and happy with what I was doing as here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have your food cart out there and about.
I mean,
I haven't actually been able to sample any, but I've heard lots of good things from.
Oh, well, thank you.
Lots of the staff.
I didn't realize that it was the thing to do was to bring down a bit of the sample for you guys.
Had
I realized that, I would have definitely brought some down for you. In fact, I've made sushi for last two nights in a row for different people.
Oh, we're always recording on Monday nights. So
any Monday night.
Bring it by John's house. We're usually there.
All right.
Or the radio station.
We're always into free foods.
Yeah. I've noticed that there's several other food carts around town now too. Like they're kind of setting up semi-permanent or permanent sort of spots.
Right, yeah.
And I guess this is, for our area, it's a pretty new phenomenon, but in the big cities, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I hope to see more of it. I think it's a great way to, I think it's just a great way to have a sampling of other foods, you know? Mm-hmm. I highly encourage it, and I hope that more of it occurs. I know that it's been, in the past, it hasn't been the most encouraging to get into it here. And that's mostly due to bylaws and certain restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that things, either people are becoming smarter to and figuring out ways to work around it, or things are starting to relax a bit more. But I know that the overall environment, it's seems to be a little more inclusive now. It seems to be that this is something that they're embracing. Right. So yeah,
that's good.
It is. It is.
And well, it's a good way for people who want to get into the food business at a less expensive way than opening up a 50-seat restaurant.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I mean, the idea of trying to open up a small restaurant is so cost prohibitive that most people that could actually make a go of it will never get the opportunity. Whereas with a food cart, I mean, that's the amount of money you need to get started there. It's, you know, granted, it's not like anybody has that money lying around, but it's if you're good at what you do, or if you've got enough behind you, you know, you've got enough schooling or enough interest or whatever, you're going to be able to find somebody that's going to be able to lend you enough money to get started.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's that small of a entry, you know, the fee or the cost to get off the ground are really encouraging, because it's not going to break the bank.
Yeah, you're not looking at high six figures going, no. This.
That's also the amount of equipment you need. You
right,
need
true.
Plates and cutlery and wine glass. And
well, and the other thing that I was really lucky about too is I'm doing sushi. The most important thing that I needed for equipment was refrigeration.
Right.
I mean, lots of these other food carts, they need... you know, they need hood fans and they need deep fryers and they need a ton of cooking equipment. And that was the other thing that led me to this. I thought, if this is going to be a summer thing, I'm not going to be in a little tin box with hot equipment all day. Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, no, I know. I just can't imagine how some of them do it.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, your kitchen's not much bigger than a food cart.
It is a little tin box in the sun, isn't it?
It's amazing. We were in there, and I just can't believe how tight a place that kitchen is.
Yeah, but you know what? It works.
Yeah,
like, with food cart, you have that. You get too much room. You spend too much time running around in circles.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That's the beauty of mine. It's so small that I just have to turn around, and everything's at my hand.
Yeah.
Although that's the failing of it, too. Everybody was, everybody that was working for me was, you know, stumbling all over each other, but... You get a rhythm down by the end of the day.
I always say you have to learn to dance together.
Yeah.
It is a true dance. It is.
Yeah.
You know, if you put some music to it and just take the sound away and watch it, it's pretty incredible to watch a kitchen at full bore.
Yeah. It is.
So you have plans for the future with a cart, as in you did talk about, you know, some upcoming events.
But yeah,
you want to have a whole fleet? Is that the goal?
Actually, the funny thing is I want to have a fleet, yes, but not of the sushi cart. I was more patterned after Rob, the guy that influenced me back when I was in my teens. I wanted to have I do intend on having a couple of carts, but they would all be doing different things. And but to further the sushi along, I would. It was surprising, and I became very bashful. But it was surprising, and how many people at my events or at the events, the Philberg and the Big Time Out and what have you, that keep asking me where my store is, where the restaurant is, and everybody. That's the second. Like they'll eat. They're like, oh, it's fantastic. Where's your restaurant? I'm like, I don't have one yet. And they're always so bewildered. So it definitely gave me pause for thought and rethought a few things. And it's my goal in the next 18 months is to get, even in some small capacity, something permanent in a permanent location. So we'll see where that goes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, we definitely wish you luck in that.
Thanks.
I was going to ask you, too, we'll just get back to the Comox Valley here. Ask you, what is one of your favorite things about the Comox Valley?
About the Comox Valley? Food-wise or?
Just anything-wise.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's grown so much since I first laid my first foot here or whatever, however you want to put that, I came here for the first time, when I was seven, and I'm in my late 30s now. And when I first got here, it was pretty quiet. It was pretty sleepy. And it's grown a lot, but it's still, I mean, all you have to do is you're a minute away from quiet and sleepy. Like mm-hmm. if it's, you know, if the downtown core is a little too high paced for you, you're literally a minute away from quiet, serenity, and tranquility, and just, you know, beautiful untouched scenery really anywhere. You know, you're always within a minute of some place that's untouched or reserved for its beauty or what have you. And I love the fact that there's so many farms here, so many little farms. I'm absolutely envious. I think that's something I would love to get into in later on in my life is a hobby farm. But yeah, right now I just love taking it all in, just being on the receiving end of the bounty. So yeah, that I would say that pretty much, I guess, sums up what I love about it.
Excellent Good. Answer.
Yeah. Yes, it is true. You can get away from it all really quickly here.
Yeah.
Anytime so you sit on the 17th Street Bridge for 5-10 minutes waiting for the...
Yeah. All you have to do is get out of your car, jump off the bridge, and into the river. Yeah.
And you're set.
Yeah. I wouldn't suggest doing that.
No.
But that was just to prove a point.
Right.
All right, Darren. Well, thanks for coming and talking to us.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's very exciting information, and we hope to see you out at many events next summer. And
you absolutely will.
We wish you best of luck with...
Is there a way for people to follow you? Have you got a...
As of yet, no. But it is definitely something I'm working on. I'll have some method in the next little while, whether it's a website or even a Twitter. I'm not too sure exactly which way, but by Christmas, I'll definitely have something established.
And we'll let us know when you do, and we'll pass that along to people so they can keep in touch with you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Excellent.
Upcoming events. We're kind of getting low on our list here.
I know.
I think we need to talk to Hans. And
Hans is going to, we're going to get him in soon. To
yeah. Maybe next week we'll get him in and he can give us a rundown of what's coming up.
I know there's lots going on, but... We're not always the best to follow.
Yeah, we're out of the loop.
We get lost in our own lives.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the North Island Junior Chef competition is November 19th.
It's a hot competition, so you can get a hold of the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association if you're a junior chef and eager to prove yourself as one of the best.
Yeah,
you know that it should be it's gonna be a fun competition up there. I'm not too sure how many people they have lined up yet, but I think there's a few names in the hat already. So
yeah, good. And Chef Aaron Rail's doing his one big table event on October 29th at Avenue Bistro.
I'm considering going myself. I was talking to Connie there the other day, and she said she was running down the menu,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds quite interesting. So there's some duck on there, and some pork, and mm-hmm. some scallops. And I'm trying to think whatever else is on off the top of my head.
I seem to remember it was a Pinot Noir themed.
Yes,
Pinot Noir. They were going to be pairing everything with some local and not so local Pinot Noirs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole Halloween theme to it all. Right. So there's some interesting desserts and that to go along with it. So
cool. Yeah. And then the Crown Isles 11th Annual Wine Festival, November 3rd.
Which is a great way to sample many wines.
Yeah.
And for a wine lover, it's probably one of the best events in town here. So
right. And hopefully we'll get Chef Andrew in here to talk about that, promote it a bit.
It'd be interesting to sit down with him, and he's got some other events coming up that we'd like to talk to him too. So.
Yeah, you bet. That'll be good. And the local food hero nominees are still compiling in Facebook and Twitter.
Till the end of the month, I believe.
For Eat, Drink, Comox Valley and beyond. So I just nominated Drex for helping us out with the podcast.
Yes.
I don't think he knows it yet, but...
getting the word out about local food and what people are doing out there, so...
Yeah, it's good. I got nominated actually for the Comox Valley $100 Challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might have got nominated twice for that.
Excellent.
So, but yeah, that's our initiative to try and help keep $100 of your monthly grocery spending on local food, locally grown food, and locally made products. And if you're interested, find it on Facebook, like it, and participate.
I got to work at it more. I'm slipping. I've been busy. I got a bunch of people I have to phone this week and get some more.
Yeah.
Get some more stuff in. I have some pumpkins to pick up because it's pumpkin time.
So. Yeah, there's pumpkins everywhere.
Everywhere. Squash season. So.
Yeah. I was thinking about getting lots of pumpkins and just roasting seeds.
Yeah.
But I don't have time for that.
Oh, you have to make time for that.
Yeah. No, you got to do it every year.
Yeah.
I always have to ruin the first batch. That's just the way I am. I always forget my little tips from last year. And I'm like, what? How did that happen?
Yeah, we'll probably get some pumpkins this weekend and do some carving.
Yeah.
And then roast
those
up.
Burn the first batch of seeds. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta get that smell through that.
Yeah.
That burnt.
Any squash that I have, I roast all the seeds. If it's a butternut or a delicata or anything, every time I script seeds out, they go in the oven when I cook the squash.
Wow.
It's a little snack. Yeah.
Yeah.
They all taste good. They're all...
Just
they're
sprinkle
not as big.
A little sea salt on them.
Yeah, as long as they got some salt on them and they're all like pumpkin seed. They're just smaller.
So, right.
Yeah. There's a little tip for you.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
Something to put on your sushi.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website, ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you'd like us to have on the show, ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.